and welcome back to another episode of the Employee to Boss podcast. I am your host, Haley Hayhurst, the owner of Espresso Podcast Production. Today, I have an awesome episode that will get you better at sales. So if sales is something that you want to improve on, or it's new to you, or you're just like not even sure what goes into sales, this episode with Nikki is for you. She shares so much value in this. She is the expert in this, and so it is just awesome talking to her. When I started my business, sales was definitely not the easiest thing for me. I had a background in journalism, and so never have really sold a single thing in my life other than working at a retail store for about 2 weeks. And so sales was something that I really, really had to work on to grow my business and to actually have a business, because we talk about this. If you have a business and you're not selling, you really don't have a business. You have a hobby that can be expensive. So in this episode, Nikki talks about the misunderstood pieces of selling and how to get better at that. She also walks us through something called the selling staircase, and it's 5 steps that she shares this on the podcast, but she actually has a free offer just for this audience. So if you want to learn how to get more clients and actually be good at sales, visit yoursalesmaven.com/employee to be able to get that free offer that she's offering just for us, the listeners of Employee to Boss. I think that's so sweet of her. We also talk about her podcast. So she has a podcast called The Sales Maven, and she is awesome at it. She's a great speaker, but she also has a great strategy for her podcast. I could talk about podcast strategy day in, day out, whatever. And so it's great to have someone else on the podcast talk about it as well. So it's not just me preaching to the choirs and, you know, not having anyone to reinforce that. So if you're thinking about starting a podcast and really want it to grow your business, tune into this, because she reinforces a lot of the things that I say in my business, which is amazing. So Nikki and I just had a great conversation, and I cannot wait for you to listen to it. If you have any questions, reach out to me on Instagram at Espresso Podcast Production, or on LinkedIn, or via my website, espressopodcastproduction.com. And if you're new here, welcome. I would love it if you would subscribe and leave a review, or if you are a returning listener, I would also love it if you could leave me a review or just slide in my DMs on Instagram. I love knowing who's listening and the value that they're getting from it. So let's get right into this episode with Nikki, the CEO of Sales Maven. Hi, Nikki. Thank you so much for joining me on the Employee to Boss podcast. It's so great to connect with you.
It's so fun to be here with you. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, I love the background of your business, and I just have so many sales questions for you today. I know that the audience is going to love this episode, because entrepreneurs and sales usually are not like, it's something that we have to learn most of the time. A lot of us don't have that sales background. Like, I went to school for journalism, and that has nothing to do with sales. So never learned any of that until I had to do it firsthand in my business.
Yeah.
So I'm excited to dive into this with you today.
Yeah. I love talking sales. So, and especially for people who are starting a business, because it is that skill that, as much as you might hope that you never have to do it, once you have a business, it's inevitable. You got to do it.
Yeah.
You might as well learn how to do it well.
Yes. Because I mean, I always hear this phrase of like, if you're not selling, you actually don't have a business, right? You can't have a business without making sales. So
no, that's called a hobby.
Exactly.
If you're not making revenue, if you're not bringing money into the business, that's a hobby. So right. Yeah.
And sure. A lot of people do start off their businesses as hobbies. But at one point you hit that moment where you're like, oh my God, I need to be paid for this.
And oh my gosh, people will pay me for this, which is super exciting.
Yeah. That's kind of how I started my business, where I had a background in podcasting and someone was like, hey, do you want to edit my podcast? I'll pay you. And I was like, what? And so that's how my business started. But
mine too, really.
Yeah. Well, this is all about you. So I'm excited. If you wanted to introduce yourself and kind of tell us what you do and your journey from employee to boss, I'd love to learn more about that.
Well, as you mentioned, so I'm a sales coach and I specialize in the actual conversation of selling. And I primarily work with women. And how I really kind of got my start is I come from a corporate sales background and I was in the technology space. I did that for over 17 years. I had a lot of success there. I was a top producing rep in North America for one of the largest companies in the world. And I was the traveling sales rep that, you know, I was always on an airplane. I was always flying somewhere, doing something fun and super cool. And I often say, I flew so much that my airline used to send me a Christmas gift every year. So that shows I was a true road warrior. And I was just about to turn 40. And when you work in technology, you spend a lot of time setting up and tearing down trade shows. You do a lot of trade shows. One year I counted and I did 100 trade shows in one year. And if you've ever done trade shows, that's a lot. I mean, that is just a lot. And one morning I was setting up for yet again, another trade show. I was in San Jose, California. It was a Saturday morning. And I was looking around the room as we were, you know, all the vendors were bringing in our gear and setting everything up. And as I looked around the room, I realized I knew somebody at every single booth, which in some ways is really satisfying. But that particular morning I was looking there going oh my gosh, I'm about to turn 40. I don't want to be standing here talking to the same people setting up on a Saturday morning when I turn 50. There's got to be something else out there. And so I got really curious about it. And I ended up leaving my corporate job while I was in sales. I also was studying neuro-linguistic programming. And if that's a new term for anybody, it's essentially the study of communication. And I had a teacher that I used to get on a plane once a month for a weekend, and I would go and study NLP, and I got master certified in it. She had moved to the state that I was living in, which was actually your state in Washington at the time. And she had moved up there and she had asked me to start assisting her on the side and just kind of helping her grow her business because she didn't know anybody in that area. So when I wasn't traveling for work, I was helping her start to build her business. So when I left the industry, I thought, well, I'll just help her build her business till I figure out what am I going to do when I grow up? And that is when I first started hanging around with entrepreneurs. And I was talking to them about NLP training and how it would help them with their communication skills and encouraging them to participate in some of her courses and classes. And as I was getting to know these entrepreneurs, I realized that the thing that they often struggled with was they didn't understand how to sell. And because they didn't understand how to sell, they were doing that thing where they had a very expensive hobby, not yet a business. So I started just helping some of these super cool entrepreneurs that I wanted to hang around and spend time with, because entrepreneurs are passionate people that want to make a big impact in the world. And I was so inspired by them. And I started just helping some on the side. And one person in particular was getting such great results with the little tips that I would give her here and there, hey, you know, if you say it this way, or, you know, if you do this, this is going to happen. And her business was starting to blow up. And the company she was working for called her, the CFO called her and said, "What's changed? Something's changed." And she's like, "Oh, I'm working with a sales coach." Of course, I wasn't a sales coach. I didn't have a business at all. And they were like, "Well, let's find out more about her." And they ended up hiring me to be their speaker at their national conference that year. And my business really was born out of me just wanting to help people and see them do well. And turned out that people would actually pay me money to learn how to sell. And so here I am 10 years later, having the time of my life and really loving working with women who want to get really comfortable with that conversation.
That's awesome. And I love that your focus is on women, because I feel like as women, it is kind of hard to go from, you know, no sales background to selling. I think that a word I hear a lot is feeling slimy when you're selling, mm-hmm. or things like that. But I always think, you know, all these brands send us 1 million emails, like Target and all these other places, and they're selling to us every single day. So why do we feel weird about it?
Yeah, I think, if I can even just answer that, I think one of the biggest misconceptions in sales is that sales is something you're supposed to do to another person. And when you're doing something to somebody, that feels manipulative and gross. Mm-hmm. And I actually teach that sales is something you do with somebody. It's a collaboration. And when you can approach a conversation, an interaction with a prospective client, that this is a collaboration. You're not here to force your agenda. You actually don't ever need to convince anybody to hire you. You can have real conversations, be genuine, be a real person, and then understand, does this person have a problem or a need? And do I have a solution that would meet that problem or need? And do I have permission to put that solution in front of them? And if I do, how can I do that in a way that's strategic and allows for that conversation, that flow to happen, so that it takes the ick factor out of it. It takes the manipulation piece out of it. And now we're just two people having a real conversation and seeing if what we can do for each other is a good fit.
Yeah, absolutely. That's a great way to think about it. Like, what can I do to actually help this person and work mm-hmm. with this person and,
yeah.
you know, sell at this person?
Yeah, because nobody really wants to be talked at or sold to like that way. So yeah, but back to your point too. I mean, I get a bazillion emails, especially from the people that I buy from on a regular basis. They're like, hey, Nikki, this is on sale. Hey, Nikki, we've got this thing, you know? And I don't get offended by those because those people have permission to sell to me on a regular basis. So I teach people a lot of times, how do you get that permission? How do you make it easy so that you can continue to put the right offer in front of the right person at the right time? And they pull that trigger and say, yes, I'm in, I want to buy.
Yeah, no, that's great advice. So do you typically work with people when they're first, you know, getting into business and, or are they, you know, trying to scale their business or maybe both?
Yeah, kind of around like the whole gamut. So I work with people oftentimes that are starting out. I tend to like to work with people that have kind of been at it for at least a few months, maybe even a year. And here's why, is because the other kind of misconception is, oh, I'm going to start a business. So I'm going to put up a website and people are going to flock to it and pay me money.
Yeah.
And then about a year in, people go, wait, nobody's flocking to my website and paying me money. There's something missing. And the missing piece is almost always that you don't know how to have a real conversation with somebody and make it really easy for them to choose you as the person they want to work with. So once they're ready for that piece, they're kind of past that like preconceived, oh, I'm going to put up a website. It's going to be awesome. People are just going to pay me money. And they realize, oh, there's conversations have to be had. That's a good time to bring me in because they're primed to go like, I'm hungry for this knowledge. I'm willing to test it out. And then when my people go and implement, they get big time results, which then keeps them going like, ooh, I want to learn more. I want to understand this deeper. I want to get to a place where this feels really natural. And it's just a conversation. It's no longer like, am I doing this step or that step? It's like, no, this is a real conversation. So we're going to teach you how to do that.
Yeah, no, that's awesome. What are, you know, some of the foundational steps to a good sales conversation? Like, what are maybe some of the steps leading up to it? And then what does it look like on the actual call?
Yeah, so I teach a framework. My signature framework for a sales conversation is called the Selling Staircase. I wrote my third book is about this. And I break down the sales conversation into five steps. So you can tell me how in depth you want me to go on those, but I'm happy to just kind of talk through the five steps and then we can go from there if that's okay.
Yeah, that's great. Let's do it.
Okay. So step one is the introduction step. And the objective here is for you to make a powerful first impression. Now, sometimes that is coming through your website or you posting on social media, or frankly, you showing up to an event or somebody getting exposed to your work in some way. So there are some things to do there to make a powerful first impression. Once you do that, the next logical step in the selling staircase and in a sales conversation, which I guess I should say, the reason I teach this as a staircase is because most people understand that when you start at the bottom of a staircase, you go one step to the next, to the next, to the next. The misconception oftentimes is that people just think they can skip steps. So they show up, they go in too heavy and too hard on somebody, and they go right from step one, right to step five, which is the close. And they skip all these steps and they leave people feeling kind of uncomfortable and awkward and weird, and sometimes angry at you for like, you don't have my permission to sell to me. So this is why I teach it as the step-by-step approach. So once you've made a powerful first impression, step two is create curiosity. This is the most missed step. Most people don't even know how to create curiosity when they're talking about their business or their services. And if you don't know how to create curiosity, people don't know what you do, and they're not going to take a bunch of time to try to understand it. So your job is to pique that curiosity. And when you pique somebody's curiosity, what happens next is they start to lean in and give you buying signals. Now, buying signals are verbal and nonverbal cues that people give. They indicate interest. This is also in that third book, but I wrote just a book around buying signals because they're so important. And when you get the buying signal, that's when we move into a real live one-on-one conversation. We invite that person to the next step, which is step three, discovery. Now, doesn't matter what you call it, I teach it as discovery because the objective when you're on this step and in this part of a conversation, your goal is to ask really smart questions here. This is not a dog and pony show. This isn't it like you know, you're not like a puppet on a string and trying to like demonstrate your credibility here. What you're trying to do is understand what's the problem and the need. And you're asking smart questions that plant seeds for the other person to go, oh my gosh, Nikki knows something that I need to know how to do, or she's got a solution just based on the questions that she's asking me. So when we hone, what are those questions that you ask in that step? Then it leads us to the next step, which when we move to step four, that is proposal. That's where you're actually laying out kind of ways to work together. This is that place where, like in reality, you're selling here. This is you, but you've got permission because we've followed the steps. We went through one, two, and three. Now we're at four. We're ready to sell. We understand what the problem is, and we've got a solution that we can put in front of somebody that makes them go, yes. Yes, that's what I've been looking for. And then step five goes really closely with step four, and that's called the close. This is the second most missed step in the selling conversation. Oftentimes people get to step four and then they kind of wait. They wait for the client or the prospect to do something. They don't realize that because you're not actually closing, you're not putting a decision in front of somebody. And if you don't put a decision in front of them, oftentimes they won't decide, not because they don't want to hire you, but because they're busy, they're taxed with lots of other decisions they have to make, and our brains are lazy. So our brains aren't going to just actively go, oh my gosh, Haley, let me just pay you all this money, right? So we have to make sure that we're closing. And when you follow this five-step process, this isn't me saying like, okay, you say exactly this, and then they're going to say this to you, and then you're going to say this back. It's like, no, you've got a structure. You can follow it and you can have real conversations during it. So it doesn't feel like I just sound like a recording that anybody could sell like me. No, you get to sell like you. You get to be strategic in it, and you get to the place where you exchange dollars for services.
Thank you so much for walking us through that. That really lays it out really, really well. Is there a certain step that you find a lot of people get stuck on?
Yeah, it's the curiosity step, because most people, like when I ask them, do you know how to create curiosity about your business or about your services? A lot of times I get either a blank look or I get the, what now? What do you mean? Curiosity, what do you mean? So creating curiosity is so, so crucial, because if you don't create it, you'll never get to step three or four or five with people. So I teach some steps around this, I actually have a whole course that's just on creating curiosity. I talk about it all the time. I talk about it on my podcast. It's that crucial step, because without it, it's very hard to move people through the process and get to that place where you're exchanging dollars for services.
Totally. Yeah. And I think a lot of people, when they first start their business, they're like, oh my God, yeah, so many people want to work with me. Like, what I do is amazing. While that may be true, like, marketing plays a big factor. How you create curiosity plays a big factor. And so it's a lot of steps that lead up to the sales, but definitely having that sales knowledge and like ready to sell is so important.
Yeah. And again, it's because in that creating curiosity step, people give you buying signals. Well, if you don't understand what a buying signal is, you don't recognize it in that moment and you miss it, you may have just left money on the table, because that person, you know, as much as we think people are going to go out of their way to be like, no, Nikki, I'm trying to pay you money, I'm giving you buying signals. You're missing them. People don't do that. They go, oh, she must not have a solution for me, or, oh, she must not want to work with me, so I'll find somebody else. And the fact of the matter is nowadays, you know, people are a dime a dozen. There's a million companies out there doing the same thing you're doing. You want to be the person that earns that business. So you have to know how to recognize a buying signal. You have to know what to do and say next so that it makes it really obvious and apparent to the other person what they're supposed to do and say next. Like, don't leave the ball in their court. Your job always is to earn the business and guide somebody through the conversation.
Yeah, totally. I would love to dive into kind of understanding how often people should be selling. And for like a little bit of context on this, like with my clients, I always encourage them to run commercials in their podcast about their business. And there's like a way to do this and there's a way not to do this. I was listening to one of my favorite podcasts the other day, and I swear to God, like 30 minutes of this hour-long episode was selling and I had to turn it off. And I was like, that's a lot going on in that.
Yeah.
But I think that is a big thing that a lot of people wonder, like, how much do I sell? Like, should I be selling every day? Is every conversation a sales conversation? There's like definitely a balance that we have to find. And so I'd love to learn from you, the expert, of like, what is that balance?
Well, the way I think there's maybe let me break that apart into two pieces if I could. So on your podcast, should you be selling? Yes, you should absolutely be selling. 100%. Should you have ads? Yes, you should absolutely have ads on your podcast, dynamic ads, in my opinion. And when you're on the podcast, the thing that you can do is you can create curiosity during a podcast while still sharing value and allowing the audience to get a sense of who you are and what it's like to work with you. And you can be planting seeds that create curiosity at the same time. So here's just one example of how to do it is, let's say that you're having a conversation on your podcast and somebody, you're like, let's say, I don't know if it's your podcast or somebody else's podcast, the answer could be a little different. But if it was your podcast, which it is, Haley, it's your podcast, right? So let's say that I give an answer and it's around something that you could do that, or that you offer. Don't just say like, oh yeah, that's great, Nikki. Go, that's so interesting, Nikki. That's actually something I just worked with a client on yesterday and we figured this out for them. You just planted a seed right there of like, hey, Haley does this in her business. You can actually pay her money and she'll do this for you. So you can plant seeds that isn't just like an ad. Right? You can tell a story that plants a seed and talks about the way that you worked with somebody recently or a result that somebody got. Now, when you're in conversation with people, this is why creating curiosity is so awesome, because when you're able to create curiosity and plant these seeds, people start asking you questions about it. So it's not like you just show up randomly in a conversation and be like, so yeah, Haley, I just want to sell to you because I'd like some money in the bank today. So I'm just going to sell to you. And you're going to be like, what? No, thanks, Nikki. That feels weird and awkward. But we can be having a conversation about anything and I can plant seeds in there. And if you pick it up, if it pings something for you, like piques that interest and you go, tell me more about that, Nikki, or like, what do you mean? Or, you know, let's say that you ask me a question and I go, yeah, you know, it's funny because that comes up often. And when I was writing my third book, blah, 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 right? And I just plant that little seed. Well, now you know, Nikki has three books. What are those books? Now, maybe that's interesting to you. And maybe you're like, I could care less. I hate to read, you know, whatever, or I definitely don't want to read her book. That's fine. We continue on with the conversation, but then something else comes out and I go, oh, I just did a podcast episode about that. And I was interviewing such and such on this. Well, now I just planted a seed that I do a podcast. And if you're a podcast listener, you might be like, oh, maybe I'd like to go listen to that podcast. Or maybe you say, Nikki, tell me more about your podcast. Now I've got permission from you to talk about something that may lead us down this path to working together.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Absolutely. And that really attracts different audiences too, of like people who love to read, people who love to listen. You know, you talked about your course. There's people who love courses and they're going to love what you're saying today. And they're like, oh, I should check out the show notes and see what else Nikki has. And so totally, I love that you know, mindset of, you don't have to be like, work with me because this, this, and this. You can just have those little snippets and make people think like, oh, she has that. That's so cool. Like, let me learn more. So I love that. And my next question, Nikki, tell us about your podcast.
Thank you. So the podcast is called Sales Maven. And the format of it is, there's kind of four different types of episodes that I do. I do solo episodes where I'm actually teaching a concept. I do on-air coaching calls with my people that are in my group coaching program. So they come on, ask a question, and I give a live coaching. And that's really just to give people a taste of, what is it like to work with Nikki? Sure. So anybody who listens to my podcast, when they hire me to work with them, they often say in the first time, they're like, oh my gosh, Nikki, you're just like how you are on your podcast, or you sound just like how you sound on your podcast. Cause I'm giving people that taste of like, what's it like to be on the fly on the wall, right? And watch and listen. And then when they get to have it for their own, it's like, it's satisfying in some way. I also do sales success stories, and the sales success stories are clients coming on talking about how they've implemented a technique and the results they've got. And the reason for that is to inspire people to implement, because I always say implementers get results, and I want to give people things that they can easily implement so they can see these results. And then the fourth episode that I do is a little bit of kind of an offshoot. It comes from my background in neurolinguistic programming, where we learn there is a structure to excellence. So I interview a guest about somebody who's getting an exceptional result in some area of their life or business. And it's a very structured process, because I'm asking a lot of NLP questions. And what I'm trying to do is uncover the structure behind their success, so that my audience can hear, oh, here's the structure. I can do those things and get similar results in my own life or business on this particular topic.
Yeah, very cool. I like how you have those four different areas that, you know, because I always say, you can put out as many episodes, right? Like an episode every week, and not everyone is going to listen to every single one. Of course, there's going to be people who will absorb all of your content just because they love you, they love what you're sharing. But the fact that you can have those four different categories could reach four different people who might tap into your expertise in different ways and be like, oh, cool, I want to work with Nikki because of this, or I want to work with Nikki because of this. And so that's awesome that you structure it like that.
Yeah, it's been a really fun experience. And the thing about a podcast, well, you know, like, you're the expert on podcasts, is what I love about podcasts, my all-time favorite thing, is that it's evergreen content. Mm-hmm. So an episode that I did, you know, in 2020, people can still go and find today and find value of it. And so, yeah, I love podcasting. It's my favorite medium for marketing your skill set.
Absolutely. And networking too. I think it's like the most fun way to network as an entrepreneur, just because, you know, like, we could connect on Instagram, but now we can have this deeper conversation and really understand what each other does so much more. I think that it's truly so much fun.
Yeah. Yeah. I've met amazing, amazing people who have absolutely become really important people in my life and in my business, either because they've come on my podcast or because I have been a guest on their podcast. And I do a lot of guesting on podcasting. And as a matter of fact, the reason I started my podcast was because I was getting asked to be on so many podcasts that people would show up in my business and they would go, oh, well, I binge you on podcasts. And I was like, how can you binge me? I don't have a podcast. That's actually why I started my podcast, because I was like, if somebody really wants to hear what I have to say that often, I'll have a platform for them to do that.
Yeah, that's awesome. Because I think a lot of women want to learn sales from another woman, honestly. I think that is very powerful, because I typically work with women in podcasting too. And so I just think like the female entrepreneur circle is just so powerful, and we just want to learn as much as we can from each other.
Yeah. And there is that natural, like, I think, desire to collaborate. Mm-hmm. Right. And so, but, you know, like, I will say, I'm probably not everybody's cup of tea when it comes to like sales. What I am really passionate about is being kind and giving people skills that they can easily implement into their conversation. So if you're looking for somebody to give you the like rah-rah and like kick your butt kind of person. That's not me. Mm-hmm. Like my style is very like, how can we make it conversational? How can we make sure it'll come out of your mouth? Because it doesn't matter how much I teach, if you can't say it and if you can't do it, it's never going to work for you.
Yeah, that's so true. I am interested to see how like the NLP and sales tie into each other. And I think what's coming up for me is I know a lot of people have limiting beliefs around mm-hmm. business and sales. Do you want to go through any of those common limiting beliefs that you see yeah. a lot and kind of how you coach over that?
Yeah. Well, one of the biggest limiting beliefs I think around sales is that people are afraid of being judged, right? Mm-hmm. Like who wants to be judged? It feels uncomfortable and awkward and weird when you're like, people are judging me. And so we hold back from putting ourselves out there or initiating a conversation with somebody that we could serve, that we could, you know, offer a solution to them. And so oftentimes I share, so I teach a lot through story. So that's a very NLP thing, right? Because story is the language of the brain. So one of the stories that I often share, and this isn't necessarily a story, but kind of is, in that, you know, if you go out to your favorite restaurant and you have an incredible meal and it's super satisfying, it's exactly what you were craving, you know, you feel full at the end and you're really happy. And the waiter comes by at the end and says, you know, can I show you the dessert menu? We have this awesome dessert menu tonight. And you go, oh, thank you. I'm going to pass. I'm so full. You know, what happens is the waiter doesn't go back into the kitchen and go to the kitchen staff. Can you believe that broad? I offered her dessert and she rejected me, right? They come by and they offer it and it feels really good to you because you get to then decide, do you want to look at the dessert menu or do you not? But oftentimes in sales conversations, we hold ourselves back because we're afraid of coming off pushy or aggressive. But because we don't offer the dessert menu to the person, they leave the restaurant going, wow, my waiter was really terrible. They didn't even offer me dessert. Now, whether or not you wanted dessert is irrelevant. The fact of the matter is you wanted to be offered it so that you could decide. And that is the thing that is super important when it comes to sales. Your job is to ask permission and offer. Because notice, I'm not the waiter coming by and going, here's dessert menu. I ask you if you'd like to see it. I'm asking permission. And if you decline, I'm not offended and I don't feel rejected or judged. But if I don't offer it, you feel annoyed because now I made a judgment for you. So stop making judgments for the prospect and just issue invitations in the form of a permission question. And you will find oftentimes people go, yeah, I would like to see that dessert menu. I would like to see what you offer. I am interested in talking to you about your services. And then we get into the conversation. We find out more about what's going on for them. Now we can put a real solution in front of them. And then we can invite them again to work with us. And oftentimes they will say, yes, I can't tell you how many times people have hired me. And it all started because I was willing to issue an invitation. One of my favorite clients of all time, you know, one time she heard me telling this story about the importance of making, you know, an invitation and you never know where it's going to go. And her reaction the first time I invited her to do something with me, she gave me this really weird, like head kind of eye. I know the audience can't see me, but she like looked up at the sky, like tilted her head. And then she tilted her head the other way. And she was like, because I invited her, like, are you interested in having a conversation about working together? And she was like, maybe. And I said, okay, great. Let's schedule a time. And then turned out she did hire me. We had this really great, she was a VIP client. So we worked together for an extensive period of time and she got really great results. And at the end, when she was like hugging me and saying goodbye or our last session, she said, Nikki, I have to tell you, this is the second biggest investment I've made in my business. And it's the best investment I've ever made in myself. So super satisfying, right? Now I'm not telling that story to like pat myself on the back. I'm telling that story because if I hadn't invited her that very first time, she wouldn't have got to experience what it's like to be proud of herself for investing in herself. And she wouldn't have got the results. But I was willing to issue that invitation and not make an assumption that she didn't want dessert. I'm just going to ask her and she can decide yes or no. And because I asked that, that's where we got to the place where we got to work together. So if you're holding yourself back from a limiting belief of like, oh, they'll let me know. People will let me know if they want to work with me. No, they won't. They'll only let you know when you've issued that invitation.
Oh, what a powerful story. I love that. And that's happened to me so many times in sales too, where people, obviously, when they look at me, they don't know what I do. No one knows what each other does. Yeah. I was on a plane and I had a sales call with the guy sitting next to me because he had a podcast. And I only knew that because we talked about it on this like 2-hour flight.
Yeah.
And I was like, how funny. Like, there are people out there everywhere who can use what you're selling if you tell them about it. That's so key. You have to invite them, like you're saying. So that's really powerful and totally a limiting belief that so many people have.
Yeah. And we've got to bust those because, you know, and sometimes with sales coaching, one of my job is also to uncover blind spots, right? Like, people don't often understand the blind spots they have in their business. I had a conversation last week with a woman who was giving something away for free that there was no reason to give it away for free. And as a matter of fact, none of her clients even knew they were getting it for free. She was just giving it to them. Yeah. So we talked about what it would look like if she charged for it. And she was like, all my clients will leave if I start charging. And I was like, I don't know if that's true. So we checked it out. And then I just broke down the numbers for her. And I showed her that if she just charged her clients $50 more, it would make her $41,000 more a year for something she was just giving away for free. She didn't have to do any more work. All she had to do was let people know that they were going to pay $50 for this amazing service, by the way. And $50 was nothing to these clients. And she was like, oh, everybody will leave. So then I broke the numbers down further for her. And I showed her that 28 of her clients would have to like jump ship for her to not make any more money. So any of the clients that stayed, she would just, they would make up for that. And she would still make between $20,000 and $41,000 more in 1 year.
Wow.
And it changed everything for her, just breaking those numbers down because she had this blind spot. And then she was like, okay, Nikki, but how do I say it? And I was like, okay, that's where I come in. Yeah. I'm going to give you some language. And then we had text later that night. She's like, I already said what you told me to say to one client. And the client was like, oh, okay. Didn't even care.
Of course.
Didn't move a needle for them at all. But it's going to make a huge difference to her business. Because think about it. What would $41,000 more in your business look like if you just knew what your blind spot was?
Totally. Totally. That's amazing that you were able to get your client that win, and totally a blind spot that sometimes we need an outside person to come into our business and be like, what are you doing this for? Like, you are cheating yourself.
Yeah. And I have this too, right? Like, this is why I always have a coach. I always have a coach.
Yeah.
Because my coach is constantly pointing like, hey, blind spot, Nikki. I'm like, oh, geez, I can do this for clients all day long, but it's hard to do for myself. So yeah, investing in coaching to me is one of the best payoffs you'll ever get as long as you're willing to implement.
Yes, I 100% agree with that. I love having a coach, and I think that it really does make it easier for me to be able to scale and grow and keep like my eye on the main vision when I have someone in my corner really looking at my business too. Kind of like accountability. One other question I have for you, Nikki, is kind of when we're coming up with our sales offers and our packages of how we're going to help people, one thing that I saw that you like to talk about is like having different tiers of offers. So having like a high-end offer and then maybe having like something to fall back on if they can't or don't want to move forward with that. Can you just like quickly walk us through what that looks like and why we should have different offers available?
The reason is because our brains like choice. So if you only have one option, you have a yes or no question to put in front of somebody. But when you have some choice, you can put like, here's my recommendation for you. And you can have a step above and a step below. And then you can make a really, so it's easy for them to choose. Now, how you lay out the offer when you're having that conversation, you always work with what's called top-down selling. So you start with your most expensive offer and you work your way down. And the reason for that is because as humans, we don't like to have things taken away from us. So you want to start at the very top and tell them all that they get in the top package and then work your way down from there, because then what will happen is our brains will make a decision based on like, what's our must haves and what do we not want to give up? But most people like to start at the least expensive and then try to sell up. But that's a mistake, because people are looking at it now of like, I got to pay more to get more. No, you got to do it the other way. I'm going to save, but I have to give all these things up to do that. It's a very different mindset. So if you only have one offer, you have a yes or no question. But if you have tiers and you're able to lay them out in a really clear, concise way, then it makes it easy for somebody to go, well, okay, I don't need the top tier, but the middle tier is looking pretty good to me. And I definitely don't want the basic starter package. So they'll get more out of it because you're delivering more to them, right? Like the client will get a better result. You will get a better result because it'll be an easier way to scale your business. And you're standing in integrity and recommending the best solution for the client that way. And you're also letting them choose the best solution. So, you know, if you only have, what's the saying? Like, if all you have is a hammer, everything looks like a nail. I don't know if you've heard that quote before.
Yeah, good one.
So when you have one offer, all you're doing is walking around with a hammer, trying to convince people that they've got a nail and you're there to nail it in. Well, the fact of the matter is actually maybe what they have is a screw loose and you just need a screwdriver to tighten it. You got to make sure that that's an option.
Yeah, you nailed it. I love it. That's awesome, Nikki. Thank you so much for walking us through all of this today. Is there anything else you want to share with the audience? I mean, we've talked about so many great things. I've learned a lot.
Well, I mentioned now that I have this signature framework, the 5 steps, the selling staircase. I would love to gift your audience a very short training where I talk through each of the 5 steps and give them some suggestions. It's called Mastering the Sales Conversation. And I have a special link just for your audience. If you go to yoursalesmaven.com/employee, then you'll get that as my gift to you. And you can download that training, watch it. It doesn't take very long, but it will clarify hopefully in your mind, where are you? What steps are really working in your business? And what steps do you need to pay a little bit more attention to?
Awesome. What a great offer. Thank you so much. I'm going to put that in the show notes, Nikki. And I would love it. This is how I start wrapping up every podcast episode. I would love it if you could share 3 action steps that you would love the audience to take to move forward in their business or their sales journey or whatever it is you want to challenge them to do. Just 3 action steps.
Okay. So my 3 action steps, I'm going to kind of pull it from some of our conversation. So the first one is stop making assumptions about whether or not people want to work with you. Be willing to issue invitations. That's the first thing. The second thing is you do need to have a set list of questions that you ask in your discovery process that plant seeds that allow the other person to go, oh my gosh, Haley has something that I need. Because it's going to make it so much easier to earn their business. And then the third step is make sure that you're actually closing, that you're issuing close language. And I know we didn't go into a lot of detail about that. That's step 5. But just to give you an example, it's something as simple as saying, is that something you'd like to go ahead and get signed up for? And then you zip it and you wait. And if you'll follow those 3 steps in your business and in your conversations with people, you will find you will immediately start to earn more business.
That's super powerful. Thank you so much. I absolutely love those. And I'm going to put all of this in the show notes, including your social links. So where can people find you? Where's the best place for them to connect with you?
Well, that training will be connected once you download that, because you're going to opt in to grab it. I also tend to hang out on LinkedIn, Nikki Roush, pretty easy to find me, or Sales Maven. And go check out the podcast, because obviously your listeners like a podcast. So listen to an episode or two of the Sales Maven podcast and then reach out and connect with me.
Awesome. Thank you so much, Nikki. Like I said, all of that will be in the show notes, but I honestly could talk to you forever about all of this. You have such great energy and really just have so much good advice to share. So very powerful conversation that we just had. And I really appreciate you taking the time.
Thanks for having me. I'm very grateful.
Thank you for listening to the Employee to Boss podcast. If you made it to the end of this episode, I hope that you implement the actionable steps from this week's experts so you can get started with your business today. Please rate, review, and subscribe to the Employee to Boss podcast on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, YouTube, or wherever you listen to your podcasts. It helps more than you could ever imagine. Remember, a little progress each day leads to big results. We come out with a new episode every Tuesday. To access our show notes, transcripts, and courses, please check out espressopodcastproduction.com.